I want to start a two-part series today titled, Don't Look Back. Don't Look Back. It's based on a book written by Christine, and I'm trying to think of her last name here. Anyway, she wrote this book, Christine Keynes. She wrote a book by this title, Don't Look Back. And so I'm using some thoughts from that book in today's message, but let me tell you a little bit about her. She's an author and a speaker, speaks around the world, and she started a ministry called A1 Ministries, A1 Campaign, and it's an anti-trafficking kind of ministry. And she has different places in the world where they try and rescue people from trafficking. So she grew up in Australia and then moved to California. She liked to ride motorbikes, but when she got to America, she had to renew her license according to American guidelines and standards. So she wanted to get her motorcycle's license in America. She's about 50, and she decided to take a two-day course. The instructor would give them the ins and outs of how to ride and so forth. She said most of the kids, the people in that class were 20-somethings. She's like a 50-year-old motorcycle mama, all right? But anyway, she said she took this class in order to get her license. One of the phrases the instructor used over and over again was this: where you look, you will go. Where you look, you will go. If you've driven a motorcycle or a motorbike, where you look is where you're going to go. And so she did all of the challenges of weaving with her motorbike and so forth. But he stressed one point. Wherever you focus, whatever you lock onto, that is the direction you're going to go. There's a great life principle here, and it's for us. Wherever you and I focus and lock onto, wherever our thoughts lead us, wherever our emotions take us, there we will go. And so today, the title of the message is this: where you look, you will go. Now, the primary text of today's message is from Genesis chapter 19. It's the story about Lot and his wife and his two daughters who were living in a place called Sodom. Now, to give you a little background, Lot is a nephew of Abraham. And in a couple chapters prior to this, Abraham is interceding for Sodom. It's a wicked place. His nephew lives there. And he's asking God for mercy if he finds 50 people that are righteous, that he would spare the place. And God said yes. And he kept going down. Well, what if you find 40? Or what if you find 30? And he kept going down, and he stopped at 10. What if you find 10 people in Sodom that are righteous? Please don't destroy the place. And God said, I won't. The problem was, there were not even 10 righteous people in Sodom, and God then proceeded to destroy it. Now, let me tell you a little bit about what happened. Two angels went to Sodom, and they ended up staying at Lot's house, Lot and his wife and two daughters. But there's a rather graphic portion of Scripture of what was going on in Sodom. We've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah. They were destroyed. And so the two angels go to Lot's house. And let me read to you what happened then. It says, before they had gone to bed, all the men from every part of the city of Sodom, both young and old, surrounded the house. They called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us so that we can have sex with them. Sodom was known for, it was a homosexual headquarters of sorts. All kinds of things went on in Sodom. There was adultery. There was indecent behavior. probably gang rape. There was pride. There was sexual immorality, fornication. And it was, in essence, a moral pit. And the people did not listen to a message of repentance and hope. And God got to the place where he said he was going to destroy it. But the two angels went to Lot's house. And they told Lot and his wife, you need to get out of here. I mean, you got to go now. And so they eventually heeded the advice of the two angels. And Lot and his wife and two daughters fled Sodom. Now here was the instructions from the angels to the family. It says, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't look back. And don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains or you will be swept away. So here's what happened. They left, four people plus the angels. Lot and his wife, we don't know the wife's name. It's Lot's wife. And two daughters. And they fled out of Sodom. And then we get to verse 26. Let me read it to you. It's in your notes. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. It's a rather stiff and stern judgment for looking back. But the instruction was, don't look back. And we find in verse 26, it's an amazing story that she was turned into, after she looked back, a pillar of salt. Now, what's interesting, in the New Testament, Jesus is giving an admonition of people being prepared for his second coming. He says, be ready, get ready, have your hearts ready. And in the middle of this discourse, he says this, remember Lot's wife. Jesus, in his own words, affirmed the story of Genesis chapter 19. There's two places in the Bible where Lot's wife is referred to. Genesis 19 and in Luke chapter 17, when Jesus said, remember his wife. So as we think about where you look, you will go, I want to share a few thoughts today on how you and I view our past. Because where we look, we will go. Now, I want to expand this to say this. There's things in all of our lives, in our past, that hang us up. We get tripped up. It snags us. It could be a disappointment of a broken relationship. And there's deep hurt and pain there. Maybe it's unforgiveness. That is a biggie. If we don't work forgiveness in our own heart, let me tell you, it'll snag us up emotionally. How about bitterness? Maybe somebody did something to you that there's still a deep hurt there. How about offendedness? Do you realize we can be offended at ourselves? Other people can offend us, but we can be offended at ourselves. And you know what happens? We get hung up. We get stuck. It could be a fear. Here's another big one, guilt. Guilt is like a chain. And it's something that just grabs hold of us and we struggle to get free of it. Insecurity, indifference, apathy. Here's another one, complacency. Do you realize we can get complacent in our life and it can get us stuck from moving forward? We just don't want to leave this little safe haven of where life is at today. The point is this. You and I have to be able to somehow get free of the places in our past so that we don't become stuck. Now, I want to show you two pictures. When we talk about don't look back, I want to give you two simple definitions of what's good and what's bad. Here's the first one. It's a good one. Everybody understands a rearview mirror. You glance at your rearview mirror. We looked into our past to learn from it. We need to do that. There's certain life lessons. We only learn when we process or glance what happens in the past. It's a healthy thing. It's a good thing. Here's the second picture. It's a picture of being fixated on it. Now, when we get fixated on something in our past, we'll get stuck. We get hung up. We don't feel free. If we glance at it and we're at a place where, okay, I've let go of stuff, then we can just glance at it and kind of keep moving forward in life. But here's the point. If we get fixated on something in an unhealthy way, it robs us of energy for the future. Because we're spending time fixated on something that happened 10, 15 years ago, and we become stuck, and we somehow long for it to be different. You know, when we all journey through life, the loss of a loved one is right at the top when it comes to dealing with difficult things. And another thing that we sometimes want is we wish life was like it was 10, 15 years ago. You know, we kind of long for that. We said, man, wasn't that great when? And just by the mere fact of trying to go back those 15 years in our mind, we hope that we can recreate that. And the reality is we can't. You can't go back home, so to speak. And so I want us to understand the two ways we can glance at our past. And you know, we need to do that. It's healthy and good to learn from it. But the second part is when we get fixated on it, we get into problems because it hangs us up from moving forward. So here's what I want to do today. I want to share with you three simple thoughts about your past. And I hope that when we're done today and you leave this service, you have a new, fresh understanding of how to deal with certain things in your past, so that you can get to the place where you can just glance at it rather than being fixated on it. Let's get started. Number one. The first thing is this. God wants you to be free of your past. You won't forget it, but you can be free from it. Now, read with me Galatians 5:1 in your notes. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Here's what Paul is saying. Christ died on a cross and paid a huge price. He said, it is finished. And when he said that, a provision has been made for you and me to be free and to experience that inner freedom. So the provision is there. And Paul said, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. That's his plan, his purpose, and his will for your life. Read with me Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Here's how this works. When you and I own our life and we confess our sins, we repent, we have a change of mind towards things that we know that God is not pleased with. When we have that heart change, here's the great promise. Listen, God says he will remember our sins no more. It's an exchange program. I give him this, I receive his forgiveness, and he gives me freedom. It's a pretty good deal. But the point is, forgiveness comes from above, but we also have to learn to forgive ourselves to get free from the issues or the hurts of the past. Now, I've got three slides here. Here's the first one. Forgiveness is the key to freeing your heart and soul. If you're here today, forgiveness and freedom is when I first receive it from God by faith that he's forgiven me. I then have to forgive myself. And maybe I have to forgive other people. But the point is, forgiveness is the key going forward to get unstuck from things in our past. Here's a second one. Free yourself from your past mistakes by forgiving yourself for what you have done or went through. Every day is another chance to start over. So forgiveness is a key, and understand God's plan for you is to be free. You are sitting there right now and you are dialed in to a place or two in your life where you may not be free. There's deep pain, there's deep struggle. Understand God's got a plan for that. You know what it is? He wants to set you free. He wants to bring healing into your life. Here's the third one. Your past doesn't define you. It's just the story that brought you to this moment. Don't let your past define your future. And God wants everyone here to know his plan is for you to be free or not controlled by the past issues in your life. He's got a great, amazing love toward us, and I'll tell you how we'll get there under point number two. So, number one, he wants you to be free from your past. Point number two. God wants you to view your past through the promises of his word. He wants you to take a set of glasses, lenses, and look at your past, the stuff you've done in your life, the things that you regret and are hanging you up, and he wants you to view it through the lens of the promises of his word. So, in Isaiah 32, read with me verses 18 and 19. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? Notice he says, I want you to forget certain things. And then he says this, do not dwell. That word is a connection word to looking back and this sense of, being fixated on it. Do not become fixated on things in your past because I've got a new thing to do through you. Now, read with me Philippians 3 in your notes. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead. Paul said, I need to forget certain things in my past. If they're forgiven, I got to let them go. And he says, I'm going to push forward. Now, in the book of Psalms, and this verse isn't in your sermon listening guide, but I love it. Here's what the psalmist said. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Now, let me stop here. In each of our lives, everyone included here this morning and on those online, you have things in your past you wish didn't happen. And you may believe, and you've got to trust God they're forgiven. If you've confessed it, you've repented, you've turned from it, whatever it takes, you say, God, forgive me. You want a different life. That's the turning point. But here's what he says. As far as the east is from the west, I have removed them from you. Now, in his eyes, he's removed them. The problem of the human condition is we remember them and get fixated on them. We don't just glance at them. We look at them longingly and study them. And the more we study them, the more difficult it gets to get free of them. And so the point is this. We need to view our pasts in relation to and in view of the scriptural promises that God gives to us. Now, in Galatians 2:21, back of your sermon listening guide, let me read that for you. Paul said this, I do not set aside the grace of God. Let me stop here. The only way forward for you and me is the grace of God. You know why? That is the only place where we find forgiveness. Do not set aside the grace of God in your life. It's your lifeline. It's your hope. It's your sense of healing. He says, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. Here's what it's saying. If you want to try and do it on your own, you won't get very far. But if you take God up on his word, and you do not set aside his grace, but rather you go for it, you lean into grace, you view your past in light of the promises of his word, let me tell you, you're on the road towards freedom. And so the more you and I view our past through the promises of his word, the greater hope we have in life. Here's a few quotes here. Here's the first one that Jake put up. The moment you decide to break free from your past is the moment you step into your future. Make a decision. I want to break free. And how do you do that? You got to take God up on his promises. You know what the big difference maker is between people of faith, what we call believers, a follower of Christ, a follower of Jesus, a Christian, versus people that do not believe, they're out in the world, they're not here this morning. You know what the difference is? This. You and I have a message of grace that will deal with our past in a way that will set us free going forward. It's called the grace of God. There's no other route. You can try it on your own. There's different world religions, but the big difference maker of all the world religions, Christianity versus everything else, is this. It's called grace. Grace says God will forgive you. You got to forgive yourself. You got to forgive others. And you can be freed from getting fixated on it. Here's another one. Sometimes you have to break free from the life you plan to have, the life you deserve. As I prepared this message and came across this quote, I'm convinced that somebody here, or many of us here, need to hear something out of this quote, and it's this. The life you planned for yourself 10 years ago or 15 years ago, compared to where it's at today, is totally different. If everybody here was honest and I asked you that question, is your life today where you want it to be compared to 20 years ago when you had this mental roadmap? My guess is everybody here, everybody included, would say, my life is totally different from what I had planned in my head as a young person. Is that true? I think it is. The point is this. The way we got to get free is this. We have to realize that there's some things we need to give up to God. And Reggie Joyner, in his book, Parenting Beyond Your Capacity, says this. Everybody has a mental picture of what you want your life to look like. We develop that as a child, and then we become a young adult. And we have this mental portrait of what we want our life to look like 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And the problem is, the two don't match. The portrait of what I wanted my life to look like does not agree with the reality of what I'm living. And here's the point. We have to be willing to give up the portrait, the perfect picture of what I expected, what I thought God would do in my life from when I was 20 years old to where I'm at today. We have to learn to give that up. You know why? We yield it. But we yield to the higher purpose. We give up a mental picture, but we lay hold of something else. It's called the higher purposes of God, for God to use my life. Even though I'm imperfect and I've made mistakes, God has purposes for us if we're willing to allow him to live in us and through us. So the point of this is this quote is this. You may be here today, and God is saying to you, if you want to get free within yourself, you may need to give up the life you had planned for yourself, the mental portrait, the picture. Maybe it does agree in some areas, but my hunch is it's not in total agreement. And we become fixated on the picture rather than releasing it and living out God's higher purposes. So here's the last quote. The only way to get rid of your past is to make a future out of it. God will waste nothing. Here's what it's saying. He will take our messes, and if we surrender them to him, he'll be make it into a ministry going forward. He'll use the pain of your life to be a blessing and encouragement to other people. That's what he does. He recycles all the stuff of our past if we give it to him. So, number one, understand that God wants you to be free. It's his will, it's his plan. Number two, and this is huge, view your past through the promises of God. In other words, if he says he forgets it, why don't you? If he says, I will just remove it as far as the east is from the west, we have to believe that and camp out on it and somehow not rehearse it and become fixated on it, but rather to move ahead into our future. Okay, number three. The third truth about our past is this. God wants you to glance at your past, not long for it. In other words, don't become fixated on stuff. He wants you to look at it and learn from it. It's called a glance, but not to get hooked and tripped up by it. So in Genesis 19, we got a couple paragraphs here. It's about Lot and his wife. Let's read it together. With the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, and you will be swept away when the city is punished. When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife and of his two daughters and led them safely out of the city, for the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, flee for your lives. Don't look back. Don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away. So they did. All four of them got out of Sodom. But then we get to verse 26. Let's read it together. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. As I said earlier, it's a pretty stiff penalty for looking back. And a deeper dive into the words look back, maybe this. The word look could be translated into to deeply long for or to become fixated on. So the issue with Lot's wife was this. She left Sodom, but Sodom was still in sight of her. The children of Israel left Egypt, but Egypt was still inside them, and they longed to go back. They wanted to experience what they experienced in Egypt, and they didn't make the adjustment. And when you and I get fixated on something in our past, it trips us up. Life becomes so much more difficult. So we find here that Lot's wife looked back. She was disobedient, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. An amazing story. Here's a couple quotes as we finish up point three. My past will remind me, but it will not define me. Make a decision today that whatever's in your past, if you've confessed it, you've repented, you say, God, forgive me, I got to forgive myself, let it remind you, but don't let it define you going forward. Here's the next one. Longing for your past will never get you into the better future God has for you. Let it go. Welcome to your new year. Longing for your past, being fixated on, will never get us into the future. We literally have to die out to, release, let go of those things, those hurts, those disappointments, whatever it is that were part of the past, so that our hearts become free for the future. And here's the last one. Never let your past experiences harm your future. Your past can't be altered, and your future doesn't deserve the punishment. Let me stop here. Every one of us know we've messed up. And sometimes we judge ourselves severely. And we say, listen, I'm not worthy of a good future because of my past. And there's a sense of self-punishment. I've experienced this myself. I feel like I've taken myself out of the game in certain areas. And there's a sense of, I deserve to be punished. Well, God's word says he removes our sins as far as the east is from the west. He'll remember them no more. And as we go forward, don't let your past punish your future. So a few concluding remarks. God wants us to be free of our past. We have to view it through the lens of his promises. It sets us free. That's what faith does. Number three, you can glance at your past, but don't long for it or get fixated on it. I've got four final slides. Here's the first one. Christine Kane said this, where you look, you will go. Where are you looking this morning? Where's your focus? You looking forward, you look into Jesus, you look into your past, or a combination of where you look, you will go. It's a principle of life. Here's the next one. It's a funny picture, but it's true. If we're fixated in the past, chances are we're going to have a crash. It's going to happen. If we're looking in the wrong direction and we're trying to move into the future, we're going to hit something. You know why? We're not glancing at our past. We are fixated on it. Okay, here's the third one. Look where you are going, because you will inevitably go where you're looking. So this comes back to focus. What are we looking on? Am I believing God's word? Am I letting go of the stuff of my past and the way God wants me to let go of it? And here's the last one. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here's where we land the plane of the message. There's one place to look to, and we look to Jesus himself. You know why? When we look to him, he is the source of freeing us from our past. His word is the empowerment to view my past through the promises of his word. I do not set aside the grace of God. I'm going to lean into it. I'm going to take advantage of it. I got to press on. I got to go to work on it. And then lastly, when we look into Jesus, we can glance at our past and learn from it. But we don't have to be stuck in it or fixated on it. And so that's the great message of the day. Where you look, you will go. And I hope that today, when you leave here, you go with some new thoughts in your mind of how to view your past. You know why? God's got healing for it, and he's got a future for you, but we first must get freed up. Let's bow for prayer. I want you to take just a few moments, and as you open your heart to the Holy Spirit, he's going to take you to areas where you're stuck. Maybe you've been dealing with them for years. That's my case at times, stuff I've dealt with over and over. But understand your mindset. Where you look, you will go. So we first have to believe that the will of God is for freedom. So I want you to plant that in your mind that, wait a minute, God wants me to get free of this. Number two, how are you viewing your past? past. It's called confession. It's called forgiveness. It's called repentance. If you've done that, God says he will remember it no more. The problem is we do, and we become fixated on it. I want you to make a decision as you're praying right now. What is it you need to let go of to view it with the lens and through the glasses of the promises of God's word? He says he'll remember it no more. So we should take that position as well. And lastly, make a decision that you won't set aside the grace of God, but rather you say, I will glance to my past to learn from it, but I will no longer be fixated on it. Make that decision today. Father, I pray for the people here today and those listening online that have pockets of being stuck in their life, and that your grace, which we take advantage of, lay hold of, lean into, would somehow free us up, would somehow help us to let go, would somehow bring healing into that pocket area of my life where I'm fixated on it, where I can't get past it, where I just have this sense of being defeated. Lord, I pray right now your spirit will deal with and do business deep in the hearts of each person to bring us to a new level of freedom, a new level of sense of being alive in you, a new level of wholeness. So Lord, as each person prays here today, I just pray for that person that has a deep wound in their life and they need the healing presence of your spirit to somehow bring wholeness to their life. Help us to be a people that where we look, we will go. And help us to be people that when we look back, we only glance and we don't long for it or become fixated on it. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.